morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvin coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show. Call us, text us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter, she joins us every Thursday at this time for a public cervix announcement. And if you're watching on the stream, you can see Dr. Kristen Lierley is not in Wisconsin this morning. Good morning, Dr. Lierley. Where are you?
Hey, everybody. I'm in Old San Juan, Puerto Rico.
That looks beautiful.
You look amazing.
It's stunning.
Puerto Rico agrees with you.
I think it does.
Yeah.
If you haven't been here, I mean, this is a very old city with an incredible history. And man, I'm learning a lot. We just visited the fort and there's this giant National Historical Site and the food and the people. We're having a blast.
Oh, how wonderful. That's great. How long are you going to be there?
Till Tuesday. We come home on Tuesday. And by the way, it's warm and it's sunny.
Great.
And it just feels so good. And I'm really sorry.
Oh, no, you're not. Or you would have kept that information to yourself.
You wouldn't be smiling quite so broadly
so
if you
sorry.
Really
it's
felt
so
if
nice
you felt out. So badly. I don't buy that for a moment.
I know. It's so unfair because spring happened in Wisconsin and then winter somehow inserted itself.
Yep.
Like, what?
Yeah.
So
everybody deserves a little getaway. Good for you. Yeah, you're a busy lady. You're always traveling and always doing something. So.
Well, and there's always something in the news. I mean, do you want to talk about mifepristone?
Yes.
Who doesn't?
Yes. This is really, really very serious. And this is going to have nationwide implications. Do you want to lay the groundwork, Dr. Lierley, for where this lawsuit came from?
So mifepristone, just for people who don't know what the medication is part of the medication regimen that we use for medication abortions, but also to manage miscarriages. So this is a medication that makes it much more effective for people who are seeking alternatives to care at a time when they're often really facing difficult life decisions. Mifepristone for a long time was not available like a regular drug. You couldn't just get a prescription for it and go to the pharmacy. There were all of these regulatory hoops that we had to jump through that made it really hard for doctors to prescribe it, really hard for patients to get it. But we were able around the time of COVID to roll back those restrictions and make it more accessible. And that was a huge victory for women and for the medical community. Well, what happened in Texas was they brought this case to this judge who is known to be a pro-life activist. He's the only judge in the region, and he ruled that it was not safe to administer mifepristone with these extended abilities. And as a result of that, it has threatened not only your ability to get this essential medication for your very personal healthcare needs, but also, it has undermined the FDA's scientific approval process for medications and could stifle new drug innovation in the future. This case is not just about abortion. It is literally about, can one single judge in Texas overrule an entire government body full of scientists and physicians to take away this much needed medication for women?
And I think one of the things that infuriates me the most, Dr. Lierley, is this, couching this as, because we want to protect women. That's why we're doing this, because we love women so much and we know best what's best for them. And I think most women would say, you don't know me, stay out of it.
It's simply not the case. From a scientific perspective, we know that this medication is safe. It's been FDA approved for over 23 years. Over 5 million women have used this medication. And it's not perfect, but the risk of complications is very low, less than 1%. And typically the complications are bleeding, infection, things that we can treat.
Right.
So the fact that they're calling this an unsafe medication is frankly not true. And what it does do is it requires my patients to have to go back to the medical community over and over again for less effective treatments, which not only costs them more time, but it costs them more money, more time away from family, more time away from work. It makes it harder for them to actually get to the other side of this really difficult medical situation that they're dealing with. It is an unnecessary burden, and it just can't be upheld.
If you're just joining us, Dr. Kristen Lierley is our guest. She joins us every Thursday at this time for a public cervix announcement. If you ever have a question for the doctor, it doesn't have to be about OBGYN-related things. It can be, we've talked about measles, we've talked about all kinds of different things. ED, you know, don't be shy. We can talk.
If you have a question, we can talk about it.
Absolutely. 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. Dr. Lierley, I think it's important, too, to remind folks of how common miscarriages are.
Well, there is some data that shows that almost half of all pregnancies end in miscarriage. That's a lot. Yeah. Miscarriages happen all the time, and often they happen when you don't even really realize you're pregnant. Maybe you have a late period or a heavier period than usual. That could be a miscarriage. Think about like all the things that have to happen at the time of fertilization. You know, sperm and egg come together, but that's not magic. Like it has to implant. All of those cells have to do all of that fancy cell division that we all learned about in high school. And everything has to go well every single time those cells divide in order to create a viable embryo. And if they don't go well, those embryos don't survive. And that is where miscarriage happens. When miscarriage happens, what we tend to see is people have the option of either just letting nature take its course, that is an option, or medical management, what we're talking about today, or D&C, which is, it's technically a surgery, but it's where we go in and we remove the contents of the uterus with using typically suction. You know, it's really important for people to have options, to be able to choose the thing that is best for them and to know what all of their choices are so that they can determine, is it more important for them to be home so that they can take the medications there and suffer their miscarriage at home? Is it better for them to go to the hospital and have the surgery so they can be done with it right away? And ladies, I know you're out there listening, and men too, who have seen your partners and your friends deal with this. This is such a personal decision. So to take away a medication that we know makes medication passage of miscarriage so much more effective it's unconscionable. And there is no corollary for men's health.
No, there never is. Never is. If the government were trying to step in into a men's health issue to the extent that they are doing this to women, the outrage would never end. Never.
Mm-mm. And, you know, this is all part of a big concerted attack against women being able to receive reproductive health care in this country. We know that if Donald Trump were to get reelected, he has a plan. It's published. I believe it's called 2025.
Yes, Project 2025.
It's where they backdoor. They don't even have to go through Congress. They backdoor through executive orders your inability to get birth control. This isn't just about abortions. This is about birth control. So ladies, I hope you're listening. I hope that you intend to vote. Myvote.wi.gov. This year makes a difference for you, for the people you love. It matters.
I'm glad you brought that up, actually, Doctor, about voting. Earlier, we were speaking about the fact that a lot of local elections seats are unopposed. They're vacant. They're having a lot of hard time in rural areas finding candidates to run. And we were talking about this, and of course, it's, you know, as the smaller the seat, the harder it must be. It's thankless. You're right in people's faces, but you're making those important on the ground decisions. And one of the things we were talking about was groups that are out there that will help you if you want to run. You know, show you the ropes, show you how to raise money, get your name out there. Can you speak on that? I know that you probably have contacts within. You can probably do a little free advertising.
Oh, yeah. There's Emerge. There's Run for Something. Depending on who you are and what your demographic is, there are lots of organizations out there that will help people who come from underrepresented populations so that our voices are heard. In the Wisconsin State Legislature, for example, we have 41 women serving right now. That is an all-time high, and it's still less than a third of the total legislators in the state. So we're encouraging women to step up. Women are more reluctant to step up. It's harder for women to raise funds, and you know, politics is all about money. Yep. So if that is a huge barrier. So there are many ways that we can support each other. If you have the will to lead, we can help you find the way. And that's what we need, is more people like us who actually care, who are putting people above politics and really want to get together, compromise, and solve problems.
We can actually get things done. We yes. really can. Yeah. We can really compromise on things without it being a dirty word and do things for the people in Wisconsin.
How many times did we talk about bipartisan bills in the past few months? Now, granted, I wish they were still there working, but there's a lot of bipartisanship coming out of Madison, and they don't talk about it enough, if you ask me.
Well, don't you think that's because on one side, it's compromise is a dirty thing, and we can't admit that we compromise?
I mean, yes, but I also believe there's some people on the other side of the side who are probably like, why are you compromising with them?
There's that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's that
totally
too.
Especially in this environment where everybody is so divided.
Yeah.
And you know, when we bring our perspectives to the table, maybe somebody is really good at the financial piece of solving a problem. Maybe somebody is really good at the social piece of solving a problem. It takes all of that.
Would you tell your children to be quiet?
I'm just going to assume it's a bird.
It's not.
It's not a bird.
This is a fun city. All right. No, it takes all of us to come together and to use our skills and to use our experiences to solve problems. That's why compromise might sound like a dirty word right now, when mm-hmm. absolute power is the rule. But once our new maps are in place and we've got new people representing us who actually have to reflect the voice of the people, it is going to be a very, very different situation.
If you have a question for Dr. Lyerly, text it in. Give us a call at 855-75-CIVIC. Shoot an email to janesays@civicmedia.us. We will continue. Public service announcement. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hay que tomarlo sin ningún apuro. Despacito, quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Deja que te diga cosas al oído para que te.
Good morning and a welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the surgeon of sound, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the show 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. If you watch on the live stream, we just had a little dance party.
Yeah. And now,
I always want to be available to join the dance party.
Now we're getting a tour of Old San Juan.
With Dr. Kristen Lyerly from our public cervix announcement. She's on the move, looking for a quieter space away from the human bird, I assume.
Oh, okay, you're muted. One second.
The place where they filmed Despacito is like a block away. We walked through it yesterday. It's lovely.
Nice job, Calvin. Good pick. Good pick.
Uh-huh.
All right. We were talking about the case that is being argued in front of the Supreme Court regarding mifepristone, which is a medication that is used for medication abortions, also to help women handle miscarriages. And we've talked before, Dr. Lyerly, every miscarriage is different, just like every pregnancy is different, and not right. everything has to be treated on an individual basis. So not every miscarriage just takes care of itself, right?
No, I mean, some do, and that's an option for some people. But ultimately, you have to be the person who is in charge of your most personal healthcare decisions. And while I might choose to wait and see what happens. Someone else might choose medication. And that the ability, the agency to make your own decisions in these very tender situations is critical. Whether we're talking about pregnancy-related issues or chemotherapy for a new diagnosis of cancer, or maybe you just got diagnosed with a blood pressure problem and your doctor is recommending a blood pressure medication. Whether you choose to pursue these treatments has to make sense to you and it has to fit into your life. And that's why if I'm giving my patient a subpar medication to treat a very common condition, I'm not doing her any favors. I'm costing her, like I said earlier, more money, more time away from all the things in her life. And I'm just extending her the need to engage with the medical system. It's unfair. And as an OBGYN doctor, it's unconscionable. Every time I have to do this with a patient of mine, it's like, oh, it's not fair.
I think it also exposes the lie of we want this to be a state's right issue. You know, the overturning of Dobbs was all about we're going to send this decision back to the states on how they're going to handle this. This would have nationwide implications. They do not care about states' rights. Mm-mm. They care about banning abortion and eventually banning contraception.
That's what Project 2025 is all about. So if you live in California or New York or even Minnesota, where they've codified abortion into their state constitution, a national abortion ban, a national prohibition on contraception, that's going to affect all of us, not just those of us who live in states like Wisconsin, where we've been dealing with this for, you know, over a decade with all of the trap laws and the ridiculous regulations that our legislators have put in my patient's path that prevent them from getting the care that they needed. I mean, do you know that if you want an abortion in Wisconsin, you have to wait 24 hours between the time that you see your doctor and the time that you actually can get treatment? Not because they say we want you to have time to think about it. Do you think these people show up at the doctor's office not having thought about it?
I know.
Come on. Stop pretending you know what my patients want. I know what my patients want and need because I hear them. I listen to them. And I am telling you, legislators and people who don't know these stories, they need access and they need to be able to make their own personal healthcare decisions.
And it is so insulting for them to imply that women come to this decision so lightly. We need a built-in timeout for you ladies to think about what you're doing because obviously you're so flighty and emotional, you haven't considered everything. That's really insulting.
Yeah. I mean, it's insulting, but also it puts you in such a vulnerable, disgusting position that you can't, we know one in four women in this country will have an abortion in her lifetime, but you don't hear everybody talking about their abortion because of the shame. People don't even talk about this with their friends and their families. It's just such a difficult conversation and they shouldn't have to. You don't have to tell somebody about your erectile dysfunction or your prostate issues or your new diagnosis of cancer.
Well,
why should you
take
have
it
to
off my list?
I mean, go ahead, Greg.
Well, the privacy issue is just ridiculous to me that we, even from a young age, when this topic came into my life, it just always made sense that it's privacy. It's your thing.
My body.
Your body. Just like it's my body to do what I want as long as I'm not hurting other people. And yet we're still fighting this issue. And, you know, you brought up Project 2025 and I wanted to address a texter that sent us. It is called Project 2025. It's not a bill, as they asked. It's a plan.
It's a blueprint.
You can find it on the internet. It's written out and it is terrifying because it will also bring into, correct me if I'm wrong, it will bring back the Comstock Act, which is from the late 19th century.
Yeah, this is an old law that's on the books. There are lots and lots of old laws on the books. This is how Wisconsin and our 1849 criminal abortion ban got to be a thing.
Yep.
We never took it off the books. We often just don't. They just become antiquated. But then sometimes when things change, these laws can spring back to life. That's what these Comstock laws are. They are from over a century ago, and they were really meant to, it was a postmaster general who was against sending contraception. He was very like anti-lewd movement.
Yeah.
So anything having anything to do with sex, he would not allow being sent through the mail. And all of the different interpretations were not just sex toys, which was a big part of his initiative, but also birth control, information, and certainly, you know, abortion pills.
Textbooks.
So the yes, any information that had any what he would consider to be lewd information in it. So this Comstock law has, these Comstock laws have not been taken off the books. They are still there. And that is the plan, is to reenact these Comstock laws with the court system that they have been so carefully placing
curating
over so many years.
Yes, they've been curating the courts. And that's another reminder for folks about why the upcoming election in November is so critically important. There is a good possibility that whoever is elected as president will be appointing a couple new Supreme Court justices.
Oh my God.
Keep that in mind. This is going to have ramifications for decades and decades and decades. And before you decide to go vote for a third party candidate who is not going to win the general election, please think about that. Please think about that.
It's so true. It's so true. And it's not just women's healthcare. It's all of our healthcare.
Yes.
Our healthcare system is so fundamentally broken, not just your personal healthcare, but public health. We have so much work to do because we have let this system become dismantled over time. Let's get this fixed so that we can afford our healthcare, so that it is appropriate, so that we can access it, so that we can live healthier lives.
Dr. Kristen Lierley, always such a great pleasure, my friend. Thank you so very much. Stay with us. News is coming up next. And then when we return, we will talk sports balls with Paul Noonan. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Vamos a hacerlo en una playa en Puerto Rico. Take me out to the ball game.
Take good morning. Out. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Surgeon of Sound, Calvin, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always call or text, join the show, 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Special shout out to everybody listening this morning in La Crosse on WLCX The Eagle. And a reminder to download the Civic Media app so you can play our Ride Into Spring statewide Text to Win contest. Your next chance to get entered is 1 p.m. in the Todd Alba Show. So make sure you download the Civic Media app. He joins us every other Thursday to kick around all things sports. The Acme Packing Company sports guru, Paul Noonan, is here, freshly escaped from Minnesota.
Yes.
What happened?
So it is currently the week of my kids' school spring break, where we usually go somewhere nice and tropical and warm. But we have some relatives in Minnesota we hadn't seen in a while. So we went there for the start of it, but it is... We hit that like a huge snowstorm. Actually, two huge snowstorms.
Nice.
So had to stay a little longer than expected. Did do a lot of sledding, at least. So
oh, that's fun.
Fun.
Yeah.
Didn't they get did they get more than a foot of snow, Paul?
I think overall combined, they got about 2 feet of snow.
Oh man,
so it's pretty big.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. Well, we're glad you were able to make it out of Minnesota.
Me too. I'm glad to be back.
Let's start with the Badgers. Unfortunately, Badgers got knocked out from the NCAA, but how do you think they went, how it went overall?
Actually, pretty poorly. first of all, James Madison's a good team. Whenever you're the 5-12 matchup and you're the 5 seed there, that's kind of where things flip-flop between good large conference and bad small conference to the opposite of that. And James Madison's good, so losing to them is no shame. But I don't think Greg Gard handled that game particularly well. The Badgers were exploited for their one big weakness, which is outside shooting, really. And they kept trying to pound the ball inside to Tyler Wall. And James Madison had that figured out. They kept denying entry passes. That game screamed for the Badgers to go small, to put better shooters on the floor. Not that they have a ton, but they have some. And instead, they kept doing the same thing over and over again and played their kind of slowdown style. And they lost because of it. And it was an ugly game. And they've already, I think, are suffering for it, for losing a couple of transfers to the portal already. So I think it went about as bad as it could possibly go. And I think there was a better way to have a better outcome there.
Well, and no surprise, I heard all kinds of screaming about Greg Gard then. He's got to go and we need, you know, behead him. And well, people just go crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And, well, I think Gard's a good coach at coaching what he does. And part of their problem is personnel, which he is also responsible for. But I do think that Wisconsin in their current incarnation is going to have some trouble competing in the portal era because they do play kind of a low post, slow down game to a large extent. And teams like them and like Virginia, where Tony Bennett's the coach, are going to have a hard time attracting and keeping people playing a less exciting style that doesn't, you know, on the surface, prepare you as well for the NBA. And I also don't think we have to be that way. Bo Ryan actually took a lot of flack for how Dick Bennett played basketball, but Bo Ryan's tempo was actually pretty up-tempo. The Badgers scored a lot of points when Bo was the coach, and they seem to have really gone back into a shell a little bit under Gard, especially recently, and they got to fix that. They're not going to be able to recruit well enough to compete in the modern Big Ten if they don't go a little bit more up-tempo and get better shooters. And, you know, you have Jack Golke playing for Oakland on the other side of the bracket, who is a zero-star recruit and isn't a great athlete or anything, but can shoot threes. And the Badgers don't have a guy who can do that, really, other than Max Klesmit. He actually is very, very good. But, like, you got to have guys who can knock it down from outside these days, or you can't compete at all.
I have a weird question because I don't know if this exists, but you bring up Jack Golke, and did great, showed some promise, showed some talent. Let's say, just out of curiosity, Duke says, we want him. Can they approach him and almost like in an NBA style, not take him, but offer him something? Or is that a no-no in college sports?
You can't recruit somebody who's not in the portal, at least officially. Okay. But college basketball and college sports generally have always had ways of going about.
They do whatever they want.
They go around, let's say.
Yeah. And so Jack all the way also will not be playing for Duke. As nice of a run as he
has. I threw a random good team out there.
Yep. But the short answer is no, they can't do that. But the long answer is they absolutely can do that. It's just a matter of going about it the right way.
Gotcha.
When I knew we were going to be talking about Jack Golke, I had to pull up an article on him. And I know they're all big guys. He looks just gigantic.
I think your exact words were he has a huge head.
He does have a big head. But I mean, it's in proportion with his very large body because he looks like a really big guy.
He's big, but he's not that big, really.
No.
Like, he's just a normal guard. I think the most striking thing about Jack Golke is how much he actually just looks like a guy you might run into at the gym. He's an older player. He spent a lot of time at down a division trying to work his way up and finally got his way. So, like, all us old, not I'm much older, I'm like 20 whatever years older than him, but all us old guys, I think, felt some camaraderie there with, like, oh, you're like the old man of the court. You just learn to get threes off before they can be blocked. That's a good strategy. That's very clever. I really enjoy that. I feel like he almost was like a guy who decided to see if he could spam college basketball just by learning this one skill. And it worked. He could. He's successful. Well done.
We're talking about him, he succeeded.
And I think a lot of people got a lot of joy out of the fact that he was the one who helped put the game away.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was super fun. Like, that was my favorite game to watch other than the Wisconsin teams over the course of the first weekend. It was fantastic.
Well, and now the Golden Eagles are still in the running. So what should we be looking for when they're up next?
They got a pretty nice pathway here. They do possibly run into Houston next, but they play NC State, who's 11th. And I think the stark contrast between Marquette and Wisconsin is that Marquette is very well-rounded. They can kind of play any style, no matter what you throw at them, which is kind of true of all of the top seeds that are still left, of which Marquette is, you know, a two. They're one of them. But they're good at shooting. They're good at rebounding. They handle the ball well. They got back Tyler Kolek just in time for the tournament, who seems to just have snapped back into prime form. And Wisconsin had this one big flaw that if you had the ability to exploit it, you could absolutely beat them every time, and that's what happened. Marquette doesn't have that, and they should get to the Elite Eight at least. Like, they should win this game. They're favored by about 7 points. They are very, very solid across their starting five. They have now good depth with Kolek back, and I think they'll probably win this game and have a really nice matchup with either Houston or Duke in the next round, however you want to take that. So they're fun to watch. Like, Marquette is actually a really enjoyable team. They're kind of the opposite of Wisconsin stylistically, at least that last game. And they're better off for it. They play, Shaka's a really good coach, and this is the kind of team, I'm not going to predict them to go all the way because I don't think they will, but they have enough depth and star power to actually make a good case. And Shaka Smart has done that kind of thing before.
I was going to say, with the Badgers, I feel like the weeks and the weeks and the weeks leading up to this, especially at the end of their regular season, I didn't see anybody like putting a whole lot of hope behind them. So I feel like at the end of the day, people were just like, yeah, this is what we expected. And we'll be back next year.
Yeah. I saw some optimism just because they did finish pretty strong.
Yeah.
And they were ranked very highly early in the season before Christmas rolled around, and they kind of went in the tank. And I think there was some sentiment that maybe they got this figured out, but they clearly didn't. And they really, really relied on their big upperclassmen far too much instead of going a little bit younger and faster. But Marquette's not going to have that happen to them. They can play any style, and it's very, very difficult to pick out a weakness to pick on with Marquette.
And when do they play next, Paul?
I think they're tomorrow at 6-ish, if memory serves.
Yeah, I remember they were playing tomorrow night. I'll look it up while we're talking.
All right. If you're just joining us, he is our guest every other Thursday from the Acme Packing Company, their sports guru. Paul Noonan is here to talk all things sports. Little snafu with the Brewers. Paul, you weren't the only one who was having some snow issues or rain or just precipitation issues, right? Because opening day has been pushed back again.
It has been pushed back. They were opening in New York against the Mets, and the weather in New York, apparently not very good. And they do leave. So it's rained out till tomorrow. The opening day schedule is always play on first day, Thursday usually. And then you have an off day the next day, specifically in case this happens. So not too bad, but it's kind of unfortunate because I'm jealous. Everybody else is enjoying baseball right now, not except for us. And alas,
let's push this into a place that has a roof on it.
Yep. It's not like we have that at home. I feel like they could schedule this a little bit better, although it does get into some later down the season competitive balance issues. You don't want to schedule all of the warm places for early when it's not that nice there either. But still, yeah, like it'd be nice to avoid this. It's really too bad.
Just for clarification, Marquette starts tomorrow night, 6:09 p.m. Right.
Awesome.
And also, the Mets built they tore down Shea Stadium and they built a new place, like not recently, but like in the past like decade. Why is a roof not like almost
standard
compulsory
now
at this point?
Oh, roofs are very controversial, and I even kind of get it. I have several friends who are very anti-roof in Milwaukee, and it's good when it's cold and it's raining. But especially if it's not retractable, when it gets to be in the 90s, it can really turn into a sauna. And it's hard to air condition those things effectively, especially if it is, again, retractable. If you want outdoor baseball, you do make some compromises with a retractable roof. If you put everything in a dome, that's easy. You can climate control that, no problem. But then you're playing in a dome the whole time, and it's not as fun. It's nice to be outdoors, you know? So that's kind of it.
And I have to say, as someone who used to go to opening day at County Stadium, there was a particular pride in surviving opening day because you never knew what the weather was going to be.
Oh, yes, very much.
It was, I am a tough Wisconsinite. Bring it on. It 37 degrees and sleet. Go Brewers.
Two things. Yeah. One, pride schmied. I want to watch some baseball. And two, Calvin, County Stadium was a place the Brewers used to play back in the day. It was a long time ago. It looked like a place where prisoners from jail played baseball.
Oh, it did not.
It was big and gray and green.
It was it was an old stadium.
Yeah.
It had its charm.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, my grandmother worked there from 1955 until like 1992.
What did she do there?
She just slung food. She worked in concessions, and she knew the players, and she had opinions on most of them. She liked them. She was always like, they're good boys. They're very, very polite. But, yeah, she worked there for decades.
I went to like 20 straight opening days at one stretch of my life, and I swear it was 42 degrees and drizzling every single time. So
I don't think I don't think there was ever a really nice opening day.
I do not remember a single one.
No, me neither. But again, it was a point of pride. It was, I survived opening day. Good for me.
Yeah.
Speaking of surviving, we have the Brewers have a whole bunch of injuries.
Yeah, it's not going great on the injury front. Wade Miley, we knew, was hurt and working his way back. He is our ostensible number two starter, but he is an old man who gets hurt all the time. More troubling than that is Robert Gosser, who is still in the minors, mostly due to service time manipulation, but is probably going to be one of our starters going forward after like May or so. He has bone spurs in his elbow and will be out for an undetermined amount of time. Game two is going to be started by DL Hall, who we just traded for in the offseason. And he's a good prospect, but he has had problems. He throws gas and with a lot of movement, but he can't locate. He walks a lot of guys. And so they're hoping that they fixed some of his control issues in spring training, but he could be a bit of an adventure. And that's your number two right now, is a guy who is, you know, has promise but can't really throw strikes reliably. So that's kind of where their pitching staff is right now. Until they get Miley back, it's going to be a little bit of a ride.
Oh, great. The Brewers have their own Nuke Lelouch.
Wow.
They have a lot of Nuke Lelouches. It's kind of their thing.
Oh, man. Paul Noonan always joins us every other Thursday from the Acme Packing Company. Thank you so very much, Paul. Really appreciate it. Glad you made it back from Minnesota. Stay with us when we return. Controversial issue. Can we agree on boba tea? Stay with us. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Morning. Thank you for joining us. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Call or text anytime, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Just a reminder, 1 o'clock hour with Todd Alba is your next chance to ride into spring with our statewide text to win contest. And I just wanted to share this text from Andrew from Maine. You are so saucy, Andrew. That's why we love you. Jane, I'm a little surprised you didn't skip Todd's hour for ride into spring and just tell people to wait until the incomparable Maggie Dawn at 3 o'clock. You're right, Andrew. I should have skipped him.
But no, because that's how amazing you are. you are a selfless person.
Oh, yeah.
You will put Todd before you, even though we got nearly 65 texts. I counted them.
We have this little unspoken competition going on between the two shows as far as who's generating the most.
Come at me, Albra.
The Todd father. Between 1 and 2 o'clock, download the Civic Media app. All right, I would love to have you check in on this too. 855-75-CIVIC. I went to lunch with a friend yesterday.
Yeah.
And we met at this cute little ramen place.
Yep.
And they had boba tea on the menu, and I have never been to a place that had boba tea on the menu before.
Yeah.
And I've heard so much about it and how wonderful it is, and you got to try the boba tea. So I did. And it was brown sugar boba tea.
Sounds so brown sugar and cinnamon, wasn't it?
No, it was brown sugar boba tea.
Now, before we get further into this, I would like to give my side of the story, too, and how we got to talking about this topic, because during our prep before the show, Jane says to me, "Have you ever had boba tea?" And I knew immediately what her opinion was. Immediately. I didn't have to say, "What do you think?" or "Do you like it?" I knew exactly that you hated it.
How could you tell?
Because, once again, you didn't say, "Have you ever had a boba tea?" But you have you had boba tea? I'm like, oh, What is the complaint? I know it's coming. I know. And I knew what it was because it, like, 9 times out of 10, it's always the same thing. It is
the little balls,
the tapioca balls.
That was the grossest thing I have ever bitten into. It immediately reminded me of what, like, reptile eyes, the consistency would be if I was eating those.
I think you're just saying that you eat reptile eyes.
Not anymore. No, it was, it's a texture. Calvin, where are you coming down in the boba tea? Yay or nay?
I've never had it, but I would assume, I don't know, how slimy is it?
It's pretty slimy.
It's really squishy. It's a weird texture.
So it's not like,
man,
a candy texture?
No. Imagine if a grape was hard to bite into. Not impossible, but you bite into it, and so there's like a little, like, you bite down, and there's a little snap to get into it.
That's, and then it's all squish.
It's all squish. You also don't have to imbibe the pearls. They're called tapioca pearls.
But I thought that was the whole point of boba tea.
But you know
what? That's what made it so special and so unique.
And some people, but you're unique. You get to do whatever you want with your life, lady. If you don't want to take in the tapioca pearls because I can't say the other word too many times, just don't do it. And I think there's versions of boba tea without them too. I think boba tea is fantastic.
You do?
Absolutely. I'm on board.
Any kind of boba tea?
As long as it's not coconut, because coconut is the devil.
So that's where you draw the line.
Absolutely. You give me coconut boba tea, I know you are not my friend.
Andrew from Verona texting in, little balls, how slimy is it?
How
slimy is it? They're pretty slimy, Andrew.
They are.
They really are. And I was waiting for my friend when I got the tea, and I'm glad she wasn't there when I did the first sip because I sucked up a couple of those tapioca balls and it was like, it's just different strokes, different folks.
But
tapioca pearls, that's cool.
But that brought us to another point of discussion. You don't like boba tea. I like boba tea. Your not liking it doesn't threaten me. It doesn't make me angry. It doesn't make me want to convince you to like it. It's just your opinion. And then we got into this existential conversation of why do we as a society, when someone gives their opinion, get so angry about it?
And obviously, we're talking about a very silly thing.
Yeah, we're talking about silly things like music or books. We're not talking about
movies.
Politics. I understand that. But like, yeah, movies is a perfect example. I mean, you know, I'll say it right now. I don't like The Big Lebowski. I think it's overrated, not very funny. It's way too long. And what actually makes me dislike it even more is the fandom within that treats it with so much regard that they are upset that I don't like it. And then will tell me that I have to like it, I should like it, and then we'll reenact scenes to get me to laugh.
Leave it be. Well, and we should be able to disagree about things.
Yes.
As you said, you like boba tea.
Yep.
You're cool that I don't like boba tea. You're not going to make me drink boba tea. You're not going to force me to have boba tea.
No.
And I am also not going to restrict your access to tapioca pearls if this is what makes you happy. Right?
Yeah.
We can agree on boba tea.
There it is. But that sort of attitude can be transferred to other things.
Like, absolutely.
Even in our politics, we can have fundamental differences and we can talk about it and we can come together as people and say, all right, you want less taxes. I feel more taxes makes a better society because X, Y, and Z. And you say less taxes because A, B, and C. That shouldn't ruin a Thanksgiving dinner.
Exactly. We should be able to acknowledge our differences and yet talk about things in a reasonable fashion.
Yeah.
So that we can still get along, right?
Yeah, because we're not having arguments with strangers generally. We're having arguments usually with the coworkers or family or friends. And those are the people in your life.
Right.
And you want to be able to enjoy them. So
let's be a little nicer to each other.
Yeah,
right?
The Big Lebowski's terrible.
All right. Thank you, Greg and Calvin. Without you, nothing works. Thank you, everyone, so very much for calling and for texting and for listening. It means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. News is coming up next, followed by the Todd Father. Stay here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.